Fabíko, Maitriporna, Jai Bhim!
Jai Bhim!
So yes, what are we going to do today? We've been looking first of all at what Baba Saheb wanted for India. He wanted a casteless India. And we saw how that casteless India was to come about in his view. It came about through a change in the mind of Indian citizens. And he saw the Buddha Dhamma as the best way to train the mind to be casteless. So we're looking at what that training is, what that training means. So it's a training which takes us more and more close to being like the Buddha. As we practice the Buddha Dhamma, our minds become more and more like the mind of the Buddha. And then we were looking at what that training consists in, or how does that training work? Well, it works by under the law of karma. Because the mind is not something fixed. It's not one thing. It's a whole succession of mental events. And every one of those mental events is capable of changing, is capable of moving in the direction of the Buddha. So we're working with the nature of the mind. And the nature of the mind is that if you act skillfully, you will experience internally a positive feedback. And you'll experience a positive feedback from the world around you. And a skillful action is one that's underlain by Maitri, by Dana, and by awareness. A skillful action is one that has underneath it, that comes out of Maitri, Dana, and awareness. In Buddhism we say that what's most important is the state of mind with which you act. An action is skillful or unskillful according to the state of mind that underlies it. So our whole training is a training in developing a skillful mind. So before we look at, in more detail at the training itself, let's look at the materials you need for that training. You know, if you're studying mathematics, you need What do you need if you're studying mathematics? A slide rule? Yeah? Do they still have slide rules or have they gone? What do you need if you're studying mathematics?
Formula.
You need log tables, logarithm tables, yeah? Yes. Ah, very good. I can remember back that far. You need log tables. If you're studying, what other subject? If you're studying Sanskrit, you need a Sanskrit dictionary. If you're studying English, you need a long tongue. But for every subject, you need certain materials. If you're studying art, you need painting brushes. So what materials do you need to undertake this training? What do you need in order to be successful in that training? Well, the Buddha says that there are four things that you need to be successful at anything. You need these four things if you want to become an IAS officer. You need these four things if you want to become a professor of Sanskrit. You need these four things if you want to become an airline pilot. Well, I don't know what else. A doctor, a lawyer, whatever you might want to be, you need these four things. And these are called in Buddhist teaching the four iddhipada. In Sanskrit it's ruddhipada. And, well, Mairam and Vijay might correct me, but I understand that iddhi means success, broadly speaking. It's very difficult talking about Pali and Sanskrit when you've got Pali and Sanskrit scholars sitting in front of you. They know much more than me. But anyway, this is what I understand iddhipada means. Iddhi means success. And pad means feet or base. That's what success stands upon. It's the foundations of success. So what are the iddhipada? What are the foundations of success? Well, the Buddha says there are four. The first is chanda. But chanda means desire. If you're going to succeed at something, you need to want to carry it out. You're not going to become an IAS officer if you don't want to and therefore don't do the work necessary to become one. So you need to have an emotional engagement with what you're doing. And you know what this is like with your studies. Sometimes you just don't want to do them. I imagine that you're just the same as I was when I was studying. Sometimes you're just so bored by what you've got to study. Sometimes you're so bored by your teachers. They don't speak in an interesting way. They don't make the subject interesting for you. So all the energy goes out of your body. You're just reading your book and your head gets closer and closer to the page. You read one page, you read two pages, but you've no idea what you've read. But somebody says, oh, come to see Shanti Om. Suddenly lots of energy is there. And you go to the film and you're fully engaged. And while Shah Rukh Khan is fighting with a tiger, you're right there with him. So Chanda is there. But when you open your book, So if you're to succeed at anything, you need an interest, you need a fascination, you need engagement with it. And this is one of the skillful things about the NVC approach, that we try to engage the underlying values that make us want to do something. But if our interests are not engaged, there's no energy. You come to meditate, you know, because meditation's on the program. So you sit down, but you've never really engaged with the practice. So your mind goes here, your mind goes there, and you don't engage with the meditation. So if you want to meditate, you need to want to meditate. Your chanda needs to be engaged with the meditation. It needs to be engaged with whatever you do if you're to succeed at it. So a few nights ago I talked about the need for petrol in your tank if you want to go your motorbike to start. You know, otherwise you just start you get on your motorbike and you go brum brum, nothing happens. You need chanda in your tank. And in Buddha Dhamma we talk about this in terms of Shraddha. Shraddha is Dhamma Chanda. It's desire for the Dhamma. So we need to engage chanda. If we're to undertake this training, we need to find a way of wanting to do it. We need to discover what it is, why it is that we want to do it. We need to discover the values, the needs that are important to us for doing it. It would be a very good subject for NVC investigation. How is it that we connect ourselves more strongly with the training? So that's the first of the Iddhipada.
बुद्धि पाद जो है उसने कहा ये पहला है.
The second is vidya.
दूसरा जो तत्व है बुद्धि पाद का वो है वीर.
In Pali it's vidya, in Sanskrit virya.
Pali में इसको वीरिया कहते हैं, संस्कृत में वीर्य कहते हैं.
And I think it probably means much as it does in modern Hindi.
So, मैं लगता है कि हिंदी में भी वही शब्द उपयोग करते
हैं. It means energy in the first place.
इसका मतलब है शक्ति.
But what it means especially is effort.
लेकिन इसका और विशेष अर्थ है प्रयास.
It means the application of energy.
इसका मतलब आपकी शक्ति का उपयोग करना.
You know, if you want to gain some skill, then you need to apply yourself to it.
अगर आपके अंदर कुछ कुशलता आपको निर्माण करनी है तो आपने अपने आप को अपनी शक्ति को उसके अंदर लगाना.
Well, the other day I was in Pune and I saw Zakir Hussain playing the tabla.
तो मैं कुछ एक दिन पुणे में था और जाकिर हुसैन का तबला सुनने में गया.
And you know, when he's playing, you can't see his fingers.
तो वो जब तबला बजाते हैं तो उनकी उंगलियां आप देख नहीं पाते.
They're moving so fast. And he's playing rhythms I can't even hear properly. In Western music, we don't have the same sophistication of rhythm. The Indian rhythm is much, much more subtle and complex. So just seeing Zakir Hussain play, you think it looks so easy. He doesn't make any effort at all. His hands are just going like that. How are they going? But he's just smiling, looking at everybody as if nothing's happening. How did he get to play like that?
Well,
just years and years of practice. From a very young age, he used to sit and play. Because his father, of course, was a great ustad. And well, he just picked it up from his father from a very, very small age. And every day he probably practices 4 or 5 hours on the tabla, maybe more. So that's virya. The application of effort. Perhaps sometimes even Zakir Hussain would get up in the morning and think, don't want to play. But he would get the chanda and do his practice. So if you want to train yourself in the Buddha Dhamma, you need to apply yourself. Take meditation. Most of you have probably experienced meditation during this retreat. And I'm sure that all of you will have found some difficulty, at least in practicing. You're trying to get your mind to do something that it's not used to doing. You're trying to take your mind to new places. And it doesn't know how to go there, it's got a habit of going somewhere else. The mind just goes on with its old habits. And in meditation you're trying to get it to develop new habits, you could say. So it doesn't come easily. You know, you sit there and you start counting. 1, 2, 1, 2 Wasn't Shah Rukh Khan good in Shanti? And then, oh, I wonder what's for breakfast. Yesterday's breakfast was very nice. I hope today's is good. I wonder how I'm going to get back home. And you're miles away from the meditation. So you bring your mind back. Ek, do, teen. And then you think, yes, well, I'd like to go and see that Shanti again. So again your mind goes away. So you bring it back. And eventually, after a long time, your mind will settle down. If you apply yourself, your mind will settle down. But you need to apply yourself. If you don't apply yourself, well, of course, the practice won't work. You know, you sit down, you try to meditate, your mind wanders, and you say, doesn't work. I tried meditation, it doesn't work. So well, of course it doesn't work. It doesn't work because you're not working. So you need to apply yourself again and again. Under the law of karma, if you make that effort, you will get results. Guaranteed. Money back guarantee. If you make the effort, you will get the result. Just as if you drop this, it will fall to the ground. If you make an effort in meditation, you will gradually get a change in your mind. And yet you ask anybody who's meditated for any period of time, they'll tell you this is true. It's not easy, but it will come. But if you don't use virya, it won't happen. So this is the second of the idipada. You need to apply yourself. You need to make an effort. A lot of the effort is in re-engaging chanda. So you're doing your meditation. Off you go to the cinema in your mind. So you then realize what's happening. You think to yourself, well, what am I trying to do? What do I want? What's really important to me? Why am I doing this meditation? So you reconnect with chanda. And then you're able to apply yourself in the meditation. Personally, I found the NVC training that I've done, little of it that I've done, very, very helpful in this way with meditation. It helps you to connect with why you're doing it. And when you connect with why you're doing it, well, you're doing it. So a lot of virya is to do with reconnecting with chanda. But you have to keep on applying yourself to the practice, keep on applying yourself to connecting with your chanda. And then you will experience definite benefit. I'm sure that even after just 20 minutes, you'll notice some difference in your mind. Even if you spend a lot of time wandering here and there, you'll notice some difference.
उस 20 मिनट में भले ही आपका मन बहुत बार भटक चुका हो, फिर भी आपको जो परिणाम है उसके बाद में मिलेगा।
योर माइंड गोज टिकडे टिकडे, Torasa Torasa Marathi it ahe. Yes, your mind just wanders here and there. But you're making some effort to focus. And you will notice some effect afterwards. So that's the second, it's application of effort. The third aspect, the third idipada is citta. Well, citta means mind. But here what it means is focus. It means attention. That you're attending to the training. Your mind is focused upon the object of the training. If your mind is scattered, well then your energies don't flow in the direction you want to go. Your chanda scatters. Your virya, well, just fades away. So you need to bring your mind onto what it is that you're trying to do. You need to focus. But look, here we are. And to some extent, we're all focused on these idipada. We're giving our minds to this topic. And the more you give your minds to this topic, the more deeply you'll understand it. But if half your mind is somewhere else, you won't really take it in. So it's the focus of your energies, of your attention, on the object of the training. And this is a basis for success. Anything that you want to achieve, you'll need that focus. You know, like somebody wants to be a gold medalist at the Olympic Games. A lot of the work, athletes say, is in the mind. Yes, you need to train the body. But you need to have your mind focused on the task. And a lot of the work that coaches do with athletes is on the mind. So that the mind is fully involved with the training. Mind here, we mean consciousness, focus, attention. So the fourth idipada is vimamsa. This means literally investigation. Yes, correct. Mayram? Yeah, I'm safe? Good. So vimamsa means something like investigation. What it really means is intelligence. It means thinking about what you're doing. So for instance, let's say again, you're meditating. You've got chanda, you've got virya, you've got chitta. And chanda. You've got all of those three. But then you're reflecting on what you're doing. Well, you're saying, for instance, what is my mind like now? How is it compared with how it was at the beginning? How can I bring more attention into my meditation? So you're reflecting all the time on the training itself. And of course, as you go on, you're beginning to reflect more deeply on what the Buddha has to say about the way life is. So the Buddha says that everything is impermanent. You don't just say, yes Buddha, everything is impermanent. Yeah, impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. But you've no idea what it means. And you haven't really thought about it, you haven't really investigated it. You haven't thought, well, do I agree? Even the Buddha, you shouldn't just accept what he says. You should really think about it. And I told the other day a story about Baba Sahib that I heard. One of our order members used to be with Samatha Sainik Dal. And so he was a bodyguard for Baba Sahib for some time. And one day he saw some people come to Baba Sahib. And these people had done something that Baba Sahib thought was not good. So he told them, well, you know, I don't think you should have done that. I said, oh, Baba Sahib, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't do that. Yes, 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 Baba Sahib, sorry, sorry, sorry. And they went down and they tried to touch his feet. So Baba Sahib got his stick and he started not hurting them, but saying, no, look, come on, you don't know what you've done wrong, do you? You're just saying this. Stand up, be human beings. Try to understand. Discuss with me, argue with me. Don't just behave like slaves before me. And there's a very strong habit that we have. We don't question. We don't investigate. We don't investigate what's happening inside us. We don't investigate what's happening around us. I was reading somebody the other day who was saying, why did caste last so long? You know that first of all, the Hindu kingdoms created this system. And one kingdom came, another kingdom came, but the system just goes on. And then the Mughals came, but the system just goes on. The British came, the system just goes on. Yeah, so this author was saying, well, why is this the case? And his answer was really, no vimamsa. Nobody says, why is this happening? Well, some do, but very, very few. And Baba Saheb was one of those who said, "This, why is this happening? It doesn't have to happen." So we need to bring intelligence to everything that we do, everything around us. Otherwise, we do things, we don't know why they're doing them. We're doing them. Because we don't know why we're doing them, well, they don't really work. You know, like with meditation. It's on the program, so you come and do it. You'll get some effect from that, perhaps. But if you understand what you're doing and you're fully behind it, you'll get so much more from it. And you need to be alive in the meditation. We can tell you the basic suggestions for meditation. But you need to be constantly saying, well, does this work for me? But my mind isn't your mind. Your mind may work differently to mine. Yes, basically all minds work the same way. But in the details, they work differently. So you can be looking, well, what works, what brings about the result that the meditation is trying to achieve. You can be looking to see what brings about whatever it is that the meditation is trying to achieve. So the meditation is trying to bring about concentration, for instance. So what works for you? Only you can know that. I can tell you what works for me, I can tell you what the Buddhist tradition says. But it's your mind. You have to see what works for your mind. And that means you need to apply the vimamsa, you need to apply intelligence to the process. This is very, very important for us in Buddhism. In Buddha Dhamma, we apply intelligence at every stage. We have no blind faith. You don't just break a coconut and hope to gain enlightenment. You need to apply yourself intelligently. So all these four factors need to be engaged if you're to achieve anything in your life. I imagine many of you here, well, you're getting on with your studies for a start. The more you use these four factors, the more successful your studies will be. Some of you may have definite aims and objectives in your lives. You may want to become something like an IAS officer or a lawyer or whatever. If you're to achieve that, you need those four factors. You may have some aspiration for society. You may want to do some work for other people. If you're to achieve that, you need these four factors. And if you want to follow the Buddhist training, you need to have these four factors. So it's a very important, very interesting, very useful list. The four Idipada. So Chanda, Virya, Chitta and Vimamsa. So it'd be very good if you could to reflect on these and look at them in your own life. Well, look at yourself in this event. What is your chanda here? Well, we had a list of things that people wanted on the board the other day. But what are you after here? What is it that is brought you here? Well, of course, it was your legs that brought you. It was a bus that brought you. But what moved your legs? It was chanda. So what was that chanda for? And, well, if you're here and you want to achieve something, you want to get anything out of it, you need to make some effort. You need virya. And again, if you want to achieve anything, you need to focus to some extent. You could spend the whole day just chatting and singing bits of songs and so forth. It's very easy to spend long time like that. And some chit-chat is good. It makes friendship and creates a pleasant atmosphere. But all day chit-chat get you nowhere. So you need to focus. You need to decide, well, I want to get something out of this. And therefore to focus your energies, your mind, to some extent. We've got a lot of things on offer. It's like a meal with a big menu. There are 10 different kinds of sabji. And you can choose which one you want. But you can't eat them all. Your stomach isn't big enough. So there needs to be some focus. What are you trying to get? And it's Vimamsa that will help you to choose and to find out what works for you. So these are the basis for the training. That's the materials that we need. So we're ready to start looking at the training itself. And the training starts with Shila. Shila means, Shila means Shila. In English, morality or ethics. It means the way in which you act. What we're trying to do is change the mind. But the mind guides action. So before you can really get at the mind, you need to have your behavior, you need to act in ways that enable you to get at your mind. Before you can get to your mind, you need to act in ways that allow you to look at your mind. But just take an example again from meditation. If you're just chatting, you can't meditate. your actions are not allowing you to see your mind, to focus your mind. So you need to start by working on your actions. This is the Buddha's way of looking at things. We start with the actions, and that takes us back to the mind that underlies those actions. You start with the actions, and that takes you back to the mind that underlies those actions. I'm giving my poor translator a difficult time. That's not what I said. How is everybody? Are you all with it? Yeah? You're so far with me? It's a little bit unsure. We've done one topic, and I'm just starting into another one, and I realized that your minds weren't quite ready to go with me. His mind wasn't ready. I think my mind wasn't ready. So maybe we've done enough, I'm not sure. So maybe what I'll just do is just to remind you of the three elements of training again. And tomorrow I'll start more definitely into Shila. So what the training is about is transforming the mind so it becomes like the Buddha's mind. We need these four elements to carry out that training. We start off by working on our actions. And that gives us the basis for working more directly on our mental states. Well, I'll give you an example. A soldier in the middle of a battle can't do the Maitri Bhavana. you're there in the battle, you're fighting away, well, you need to be wanting to destroy. Despite what it says in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't think you can fight with Maitri in your mind. Because if you have Maitri, you won't want to kill. You won't be a very good soldier. I think it's a fact. I've never tried, but I imagine that's true. So if you want to develop Maitri, you need to stop acting hatred. Yeah, it's obvious, isn't it? Because instead of doing the Maitri Bhavana, you're doing the Dvesh Bhavana. While you're fighting, you're just developing hatred in your mind. You're strengthening hatred in your mind. So to begin with, you just need to stop fighting. The hatred may still be there. If you've been fighting all your life, hatred isn't just going to go away when you stop fighting. You've developed hatred as your main mental state. And you may have to work for a long time to get rid of hatred. And, well, there are many examples of this. You probably all know the story of Angulimala. Well, Angulimala means necklace of fingers. And Angulimala was a bandit who had to get 100 fingers. So he'd killed 99 people. He just needed one more. As far as I remember, he needed that mala to give to his guru. And he saw the Buddha. So he started running after the Buddha, ready to kill him. But a strange thing happened. The faster he ran, the faster the Buddha went in front of him. But the Buddha didn't seem to be walking. The closer he got, the further the Buddha got away. But the Buddha wasn't making any effort. And so he said, "Stop!" And the Buddha said, "I have stopped. You stop." And Angulimala just couldn't understand what was happening. He said, "Stop." And so he stopped. He stopped that hatred inside him. So this little story sort of is about somebody stopping that hatred action. And after some time, Angulimala became a bhikshu. But he had to sit with the consequences of his previous actions. All that hatred, all that violence, still in his mind. And he had to wait until he'd burned it away through his spiritual practice. So we need to stop the unskillful actions. And then we can begin to deal with the unskillful mental states. If you don't stop the actions, you're just recreating the mental states. You can't develop Maitri when you're in a battle. But if you stop, you can begin to work on the mental states that underlie that. So Shila is learning to stop so that you can get at the underlying mental states. It's a bit like making a garden. If you want to make a garden in the jungle there, first of all, you've got to clear away all the trees and so forth that at the moment are blocking the light and using the soil. You can't grow flowers, garden flowers, in the jungle. So you need to clear away so that you can grow. So Shila is about creating the space so that you can look at the mind. Of course, it's also about not harming others. So, you know, if you're fighting, well, you're hurting people. So if you're practicing Shila, you're not harming others. You're creating the space so that you can work on your own mind. And you're withdrawing from actions that harm others. So we'll look further at what exactly that means tomorrow. We'll look at how you stop acting in ways that harm others and that prevent you from changing your own mind. Of course, what we're going to be doing is looking at the five precepts. And probably most of you are familiar with those precepts. So I suggest you just start to think about them. In what way do these precepts help you to create the space to look at your mind? In what way do these precepts help you to create the space to look at your mind? In what way do these precepts stop you harming others? In what way do they stop you harming yourself? You could say that Shila has three purposes. You could start by saying, well, it prevents you from harming yourself. It helps you to help yourself. Secondly, it prevents you from harming others. It helps you to help others. Thirdly, Shila helps you to work on your mind so that you can become the Buddha. So this is the purpose of Shila. And this is where we'll start tomorrow. But do some reflection, do some vimamsa. Just reflect on these precepts that you've probably, those of you who are Buddhists, have been saying all your life. In what way do they help you? In what way do they help others? In what way do they help you to achieve the highest goal of awakening? So that's it for today. Just remember those four Iddipada. Think about those and how they apply. Think about how they apply in your life in general. Think how they apply here in this retreat. And then think about the precepts. How do they help you? How do they help others? How do they take you to your highest goal? And tomorrow I'll tell you what I think. Jai Veen.